Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Happy Labor Day, everybody. It's Labor Day, and this is my 11th consecutive live broadcast on Labor Day. I love this. I wouldn't think about not being here with you if I have any other choice, and especially when I have an opportunity to visit with people like Nell Merlino. Nell's an old friend of ours, longtime member of our Brain Trust, co-founder and CEO of Count Me In, which is an organization that works hard for women entrepreneurs. And she's somebody, as I mentioned earlier in the hour, she's somebody that I admire very much. Nell, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Jim. Good morning.
It's good to have you here. Good morning to you, and happy Labor Day.
And the same to you. It's always a great day, Labor Day.
You know, I'm going to be talking about this a little bit later in the hour, but here's a quote from Matthew McGuire, who is reputed to have first suggested a Labor Day back in like in the 1880s.
Oh, yeah?
And he said he wanted it to be a day to honor the working man.
Now,
he didn't say that. Now. This was during less enlightened times, Nell, and so he couldn't get away with that today, could he?
I don't think so. I certainly hope not.
Because you'd be all over him, wouldn't you, Nell?
Well, I certainly want to remind him that women, we do our part.
What was interesting?
We now own what, almost half of all businesses in the United States.
I know it. I know it. It's kind of scary. But you know, Nell. Here's the interesting thing. Men worked 6 days a week on the job back in those days, and they worked 12 hours a day, 6 days a week, and they only got one day off. And so they got a day to honor the working man. But the truth is, their wives never got a day off.
That is absolutely true.
They worked 7 days a week, didn't they? Because when the guy came home on his day off, he wanted to eat, right?
I look back then, and women were, you know, making still in some cases making most of the clothes for the family, in addition to everything that was eaten. I mean, they either grew it or cooked it or canned it or something.
Trapped it or shot it or something, right?
You betcha. Yeah, no, they had a lot to do, and we still do. Still do. Well, we're not making that way. If we're making soap, we're selling it somewhere, but lots changed since then.
Let's talk about one of the things I want to talk about, if you don't mind, is this idea of wage parity. Last week in the Democrat convention, we heard a lot about that women still weren't being paid at the same level as men. If you take into is that including taking into consideration that women, you know, women have a different life path than men many times, as you know. They're obviously the ones who have to bear the children. Mm-hmm. Many times it's very typical for a family to decide that the wife will put her career on hold and maybe seek a part-time job or something like that. Is all that taken into consideration when people say that women don't make as much as men?
I'm pretty sure it is, actually, because what we see now is there is some kind of parity when men and women first enter the workforce. And where it changes is most dramatically, or where the divide seems to really accentuate, is when women have children. But it doesn't necessarily mean that they've left the workforce.
Right. It
means that they are not paid as much. I mean, it is, and I think I don't know exactly why it happens. I mean, there are obviously the you know, age old sort of discrimination issues, but I also think it has to do with a willingness on the part of some women, or a fear. I think it's a fear of saying too much about it, because they do need the income, so they don't speak up as much about it. And it's also one of these things that's gone on for so long. Because I was at the convention, and I will tell you, I was stunned. The number of times that it was mentioned.
It was
the loudest applause or recognition of an issue that I saw every single time. It was palpable.
But you know, it's hard for me to believe, though, Nell, in this day and time, that anybody could actually get away with that. In other words, if somebody, if it's happening, is it not happening more as a natural thing rather than some conspiracy? I mean, sometimes people say it, when they say it, like when they said it at the convention, some of the times when they said it, it sounded militant, and it sounded like they thought people were consciously doing this, like I only hire women so I can pay them less than men, or something like that.
I think it is probably conscious in some areas, but I think it is something that's gone on for so long.
But that's what I meant by the natural thing. I mean, you know, you and I've talked about this.
Well, I don't know what natural means. I mean,
well, here's my point. I was going to tell you, you and I've talked about this before.
It's
you and I have
natural about not making enough money.
Okay, maybe that's a bad word, an unfortunate word to use. But my point is this: you and I've talked many times before that if we could give women one thing in the marketplace, we would give them an extra dose of self-confidence.
I think that's absolutely true, and I think.
And so that's what I mean. That's what I mean by natural. And you said it a minute ago. If women don't speak up for themselves, they're going to get what people give them.
Well, and the whole business of you know, wages not being disclosed and people not knowing what everybody makes. I think that is a. It's still in some cases like a secret, you know. And you're not supposed to tell anybody, it's important, I think, that we all recognize what we make, and there'd be some stunning realizations, I think, if everybody was conscious of what each other made in a particular workplace, because you do find out that there are differences, and maybe those differences are okay with people. I'm sure in most cases they're not.
I think this natural thing I was talking about, and I just haven't come up with a better word for it, I think it happens to men, too. In fact, I know of cases where this has happened, where one guy wasn't a complainer, he didn't demand anything, and over a period of years, he didn't make as much money as the other guys in his unit.
I think that is true. I think this is a question of speaking up and demanding what you know you're worth.
Stand by. Now we're going to take a quick break, folks. Nell Merlino is our guest. She's the co-founder and the CEO of Count Me In. She also is the lady who came up with the idea of Make Mine a Million, which has helped a lot of women in the marketplace. 20 after, I'm Jim Blassingame. Here's John Cougar Mellencamp. Take us out. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Check them out. Use them to your advantage. No barriers to entry. If you get there, we'll let you come in, hang out with us, use our stuff. Happy Labor Day, everybody. We're live and in person on Labor Day. Is my 11th consecutive Labor Day program to do, and we wouldn't do it any other way without our good friend Nell Merlino, the co-founder and the CEO of Count Me In. Also, Make Mine a Million is an organization that she's put together that helps women get the capital that they need. Nell, tell us a little bit about Count Me In.
Count Me In, we're the leading not-for-profit provider of online resources for women, and we help them grow their micro-businesses to million-dollar enterprises with our program, which is called Make Mine a Million-Dollar Business. And we do these competitions around the country for Make Mine a Million. We have a big one coming up in Albuquerque on September 18th, and there's, you know, if you want to come, there is still time to sign up and come. It's a day-long. It really is. It's a competition to get women to stand up and talk about their businesses. The audience gets to vote on the businesses that we all think can get to a million within 12 to 18 months. And we're going to be in North Carolina in October. We're going to be in Florida in December. we have really, I think, identified a way of helping women get over some of the barriers in the system, but more importantly, the barriers in your head to growing your business to the size.
Those are the biggest barriers that we all have, isn't it?
Isn't it true? Sure, we do.
Yeah.
We just need.
We don't get out of our own way, do we?
That's right. That is absolutely right, Jim. And we have 25% of the women in our program have gotten to $1 million already.
Wow. Now you know what I mean when I say I'm proud of you, Nell. Now my audience knows what I mean. I am proud of you.
Thanks. You know, the other thing, we did a survey this summer of we have 60,000 women in our online community. The majority, vast majority of them are small business owners. And we found out that we employ the 60,000 in the Make Mine a Million community employ over 200,000 people, which
right.
If we were a Fortune 500 company, we would be number 20th on the list in terms
Wow.
of... So I think particularly on Labor Day, understanding that small businesses provide, 70% of all the jobs in the United States?
Yep.
So here we are. I mean, there ought to be some way of celebrating small business on Labor Day because...
Well, see, I've been talking about that. For a long time. In fact, that's what I talked about earlier in the last hour, and we'll talk about it again in the second hour. Nell I'm pretty indignant about the fact that there's a Labor Day, and yet there's no Small Business Day. What's wrong with that picture? We're the ones who are paying.
Where the jobs and the innovation? I particularly think in economic climates like this. You know, big companies, they're really focused on cash flow and, you know, where they can cut costs.
Yep.
Where the innovation comes from.
55% of all innovations come from small business owners.
It's absolutely true. It's absolutely true, and you really see it at times like this.
Well, and remember this now, folks. 70 million small businesses, 70 million employees of small businesses get a paid day off today that it comes out of the capital of a small business.
That's true. It's absolutely true.
We have to earn them exactly.
Well deserved.
Yeah.
I know for my crew, it'd count me in. I tell you, I wish I could give them more than a day off.
Let's talk a little bit about politics, but mainly from the standpoint of the nominee. You know, I think women are so well represented this year. Now we had Hillary, who just came within a gnat's hair of becoming the nominee for the Democrat Party.
Yes.
And now we've got Governor Palin. Palin. I always turn that around. Palin. Sarah Palin is now the nominee for Vice President on the Republican side. Women are doing pretty good this year in politics, aren't they?
They sure are. I think somebody finally understands that we're not going anywhere, and it's important. It's important that all voices are heard and all opinions are heard, and that everyone is represented. And I think to have this many women actively involved it's a demonstration of leadership. That I think is what is so important. The more women get to see women standing up as leaders, you know, giving their opinions and having
a full life. Like, I mean, look at Governor Palin. She's got five children and a husband, and you know, she's keeping a house and running the state. I mean, that's pretty inspiring, isn't it?
It certainly is. Well, it says all the myths about you had to choose between children and a career.
You can't have it all.
I mean, Hillary Clinton has demonstrated that, you know, raising what you know we've all seen.
Raising her daughter and her husband, right?
Well, we all do that, Jim. But
you sound like my wife.
in all of these cases, I think it's important for women to sort of look at these women and say, what can I learn from her?
Yeah.
And how do I have been writing about this in terms of the different strategies that people have used. How do you deal with sort of being on the public stage? How do you deal with failure? I think one of the huge things for all business owners, men and women, is nobody gets anywhere without not hitting their mark or
you're gonna fail
miscalculating.
You're going to fail And you got to be able to put it, you got to be able to understand that and put it in perspective, don't you?
Yes, you do.
Hey, Neil, give us your website, please.
I think it's important today to go to MakeMineAMillion.org. MakeMineAMillion.org. Register for the community and come out to one of our events and get your business going to a million.
Thanks, Neil, for being here. Happy Labor Day.
Oh, happy Labor Day to you.
See you later. Quick break.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.